We're turning tonight to the book of Isaiah in chapter 9. Chapter 9, a well-known verse 6. There's one particular phrase I want to speak to you from. I'll read the whole verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it's particularly that phrase, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And his name shall be called Wonderful. A football crazy young lad heard that his football hero was in town signing autographs. So he pleaded with his mum, can we go to town to see the footballer? So they joined the long queue to get the footballer's autograph. When it was his turn, the footballer signed. He didn't look up to the young lad. He didn't acknowledge him. He didn't smile. No words except, next please. The young lad was so disappointed. Someone commented, it's not necessarily a good thing to get too near your heroes because you see them as they really are. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. The nearer you get to know someone, the nearer you are to a person, you see them as they are. There is this great prophecy in Isaiah, and it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. The word wonderful means marvellous, amazing, better than expected, unique. There's no one else like him. His name shall be called Wonderful. In another book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they call Christ the chiefest of 10,000s. How about that? He's altogether lovely. And he's like a lily among thorns. In other words, he stands out from all the rest. He is so wonderful. Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. And Peter could say this after the Lord Jesus had gone back to heaven. He said, who did no sin, neither was there guile in his mouth. In other words, he didn't say anything wrong and he didn't do anything wrong. What a compliment that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. That can't be said about us. John the Apostle, he said this, even as he is pure. What a statement that is. Pure. Can you imagine that? That can't be said about us. But our text says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And it is. Someone wrote this, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is of a physician who never lost a patient. He is a captain who never lost a battle. He is a teacher who never gets it wrong. He's a preacher who always preaches the right message. He's a musician who always plays the right note. He's the artist who never misses a stroke. He's the master who cares for his servants. He is a friend that sticks closer to than a brother. He is a guide who always arrives at the right place. And he is a counselor who always gives the right advice. And he is the Saviour who completely saves all who come to him. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now you may have noticed as we read that chapter 9, what led up to that wonderful statement. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, I can't go into the great detail of those verses, but I'll just highlight to you what those verses, those first five verses, were teaching. Verse 2, there's a people. They're walking in darkness, but they see a great light. So we'll say, from darkness to light. Verse 2 again, there are those living in the land of the shadow of death, but a light has shone upon them. So we'll say from despair to hope. Verse 3, it talks about the increase of joy. So we'll say from sorrow to joy. Verse 4 talks about a people being in bondage, being set free. So we'll say from bondage to freedom. And then verse 5 speaks about an enemy has been defeated. So we can say from defeat to victory. Let me just repeat those because they're important. From darkness to light, despair to hope, sorrow to joy, bondage to freedom, defeat to victory. Now, who can bring that about? We read in verse 6, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And those of us who are Christians know something of that experience. From one extreme to another. Once there was darkness in our lives, but now there is light. Once there was sorrow, now there is joy. Once there was defeat, but now there is victory. And that's the reality that the Christian has. And we join in and say, and his name shall be called Wonderful. We can go further than that because Isaiah is speaking of him yet to come. We can say, his name is Wonderful because he is our Saviour and Lord. Now there are three things I want to observe from this great statement. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Why is his name called Wonderful? Number one, because of his grace. Because of his grace. The greatness of his grace towards people like us. Now verse 6 begins, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now that verse is teaching us that there will be a baby boy that will be born. That boy will be conceived in a most unusual way. He'll be born of a virgin. Now we're not surprised at that statement because if you just flick back to chapter 7, there's another great prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 14 of chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So when we come to chapter 9, verse 6, we get it. A baby that is born without an earthly father. So this baby is unique. It hasn't got an earthly father. But it has a heavenly father. The Father has sent the Son into this world. And that's why it required a unique birth. So when he is born into this world, he is not part God and part man. He is truly God the Son of God. But he is also truly the Son of Mary. And we see one who is fully God, yet fully man. You say, my mind can't take that in. That's why we need the Bible. The Bible has revealed it to us. Sadly, this Christmas time, there'll be those, yeah, they'll claim to be Christians, but they'll undermine that great truth. They believe their mind, their thoughts are more important than the Bible. And they undermine the great truth of the virgin birth. For God's Son to come into this world, it required a virgin birth. You see, these people who deny the Bible, they want to take all the supernatural, all the miraculous away from us. Without a virgin birth, we will not have a perfect man, and we will not have a Christ who will go to Calvary to bear the sins of many. So the Lord Jesus Christ, his name shall be called Wonderful because of his grace. What a wonderful person the Lord Jesus Christ is. There's none other like him. How great is that grace? Now use your imaginations for a moment. You need to. Imagine King Charles said, I'm no longer going to live in Buckingham Palace and all the other places he goes to. He says, I'm going to live on the streets. He says, I'm no longer going to put my crown on and my royal robes on. I'm going to put my jeans on and have a little woolly hat on my head, and I'm going to live on the streets. I'm not going to have these great banquets. I'm going to just ask for a bit of food by those who pass by. And instead of my millions, I'll just beg for a few coins to get me through. Now you would say, what a step down in life. What a humiliation for the king. Well, of course, that's only an illustration. But shall I tell you something? If King Charles was to do that, that's nothing compared to what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Our Lord Jesus Christ left the purity and the glory of heaven with all the angelic hosts praising him and worshipping him in that glorious place of heaven where there was no defilement, there was no sin, there was no rebellion. And he stepped down into our world where there was sorrow, misery, suffering and death. He left thousands of angels to come into this world where he'd find people who would reject him, blaspheme him, doubt him, hate him. What a step down that is when he came into the world. He left all the comforts of being with God, the Heavenly Father, to come into this world where he had, the Bible says, nowhere to lay his head. To be born in that and put in that little manger. To know all the tears and sorrows of those early babyhood days. To know all the trials and temptations of life which we experience. He knew what it was to be lonely. He knew what it was to be sad. He knew what it was to stand at a grave because of a loved one that had died. And he wept. And he knew the terrible pain that he would endure. Enduring the cross of Calvary and all that he did. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did. And we say, and his name shall be called Wonderful. But did you notice in our text it says, for unto us, it says it twice, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we who are rebellious sinners, we who have been defiant to Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for people like ourselves. That is amazing. That's what some of these hymn writers that wrote the carols are trying to put into words. The wonder of Christ coming into this world. One man put it like this about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was in this world, it says, like man he walked, like God he talked. His words were oracles, his deeds were miracles. Of God, the true expression, of man, the finest specimen, fully orbed in humanity, crowned with deity. No trace of infirmity, no taint of iniquity. Behold the man, behold thy God. Now he summed it up, didn't he? The man who walked through our world, Jesus Christ, was man, yet he was God. Charles Wesley put it like this, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. His name shall be called Wonderful. There's no other person like our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we study Christ. That's why we read about Christ. That's why we sing about Christ. That's why Christ says in the Bible, unto you that believe, he is precious. And he is, because there's no one like Christ. And we worship him because of the greatness of his grace. He came to rescue people like ourselves. Amazing grace indeed. Now that's the first thing I want to say. His name is Wonderful because of his amazing grace, the greatness of his grace. The second thing I want to say to you, his name shall be called Wonderful because of the greatness of his gifts. He gives people gifts. Do you realise that? He's a great giver. And this is a wonderful thing. Now you'll have to just help me reason with you just for a few moments in order to understand what else this verse is saying. Now, in this world, do you agree with me? There's chaos. Well, you say there certainly is chaos. Perhaps in your life, you have a bit of chaos. You're not really organised. And as a result, you get in a bit of a mess. So, first word, chaos. We all know a bit about chaos in our lives. The second word is confusion. And there's a lot of people confused. What's the point? That said to me many times. What's the point? What's the point of life? And I see all the religions. I'm confused. Which one's right? And there's confusion within. And things happen to in a person's life, and they say, well, why did that happen to me? And they're confused. So that's our second word, confusion. And then in our world, would you agree with me? There's corruption. There's corruption. Now you know that's true. The prisons are full at this moment in time. We can't take any more. Incredible days we live in. Corruption. We don't have bank robbers these days. They try to get your bank details through the internet. That's how they rob banks these days. What days we live in? There's corruption. And whether you're lowly or whether you're up there amongst the tops of this world, there's corruption. So that's that. The third word, corruption. And then there's something else which we don't think about much these days, and that is condemnation. Now, every person, I believe, knows this, but they won't let on they know it. They know that they live in God's world. They breathe God's air. They know there's a God. They may deny it, but they know there's a God. And they know they're guilty of breaking his commandments. And they know that within they deserve to be condemned to an eternal hell. They know that. They won't let you on, they know that. They'll shout and shout and argue, but they know that. They're condemned. That's our fourth word. Then the final word, it conflicts. Well, we're all conscious of that, aren't we? Whether we look in the Middle East, whether we look in Ukraine, there's conflicts. But there's conflicts in the home as well, aren't there? There's conflicts on the factory floor and in the office. We all know that. So there's plenty of conflicts in our world. So I've now five words. Chaos, confusions, corruptions, condemnation, conflicts. Now look at our verse very closely as I answer those issues. And his name shall be called Wonderful. But did you notice what it said before? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now this might surprise you, but one of the great gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ to individuals is this, is authority. Authority. Now we don't like the word of authority, but what's the answer to chaos? When everyone does which is right in their own eyes, when everyone does their own thing, it brings chaos. But when there's authority, it brings order. And that's one of God's good gifts through our Lord Jesus Christ, authority. When a person becomes a Christian, they generally pray a prayer similar to this. They say, Lord, will you save me? Notice the first word, Lord. Do you know what they're saying? They're saying, Lord, I want to stop running my affairs like I've been running them. And I want to surrender to your authority. And I want you to be Lord of my life. And that's one of God's good gifts to us, authority. And that's what a Christian is. No longer are they living for themselves. No longer are they doing their own thing. They want to live for their Lord Jesus Christ because his name is wonderful. And he's done a wonderful thing for them. He's saved them. So they live for the Lord. So the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now there's the question of confusion. What's God's good gift through the Lord Jesus Christ to a person who's confused? Answer? Clarity. Clarity. People are confused morally today and confused spiritually. But the Lord Jesus Christ brings clarity. Did you notice that lovely word? Counselor. We need a counselor. Now, of course, there's the world queuing up to counsel you. But generally speaking, a lot of that counsel is not very good. But there is one we can trust as our counsellor because his name is wonderful. Do you know what one of the greatest gifts God has given us in this world? It's the Bible. It's the Bible. And that's how he counsels us, through the reading and study of the Word of God. His wisdom, his counsels, his commands are all for our good, that we might be able to live in a world which is oh so wrong, but prove that we have God's wisdom. A preacher went in to speak to some philosophy students. You know, those people who are thinking about, well, this is the meaning of life, but really they haven't got a clue. And the preacher went in with his Bible and held up his Bible. He said, okay, folk, I've got all the answers. And we have. The Bible's got all the answers to all the problems and the difficulties of life. Because his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. Now think about that word, corruption. Corruption. Notice what it says. The mighty God. How can I deal with corruption? Well, I need a big turnaround, don't I? Do you know what the glory of the gospel is? The Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty God. He comes. Shall I tell you what he does? When a person calls on him to be saved, he comes. He cleans them up. He does. His precious blood washes away all our sins. But more than that, he comes and deals with our heart of hearts. The Bible says he gives us a new heart. That's why he's a mighty God. He's so powerful, he can change us. And that's why the Bible says if any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. And it's true. But if a person becomes a Christian, it's like living in a new world. It's like walking a new path. And it's walking to another destination. That's the drastic change that comes to the Christian. It's an answer to our corruptions. And that's why the gospel can make bad men into good men. Dishonest men into honest men. Men who were living for themselves into men and women who want to live for others and do good to others. And then what about this condemnation? The answer to condemnation, it's a big word, some of you understand it, is justification. Now let me explain. Now there's a lovely verse in John 5, verse 24. Now listen to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, listen, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, there's our word, but is passed from death unto life. What a scripture that is. When a person says, Lord, will you save me and forgive me that I might be a real Christian? This is what's happened. There's a transaction. We can't see it, but there I was condemned. But God in his mercy, he takes me out of the position of condemnation and justifies me freely. It's one of his great gifts. And instead of being against God and God's wrath against me, I'm now for God and God is for me. That's a wonderful thing to know, that you've been justified freely by grace. And then, of course, the last one was my conflicts. Well, notice what it says. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Do you know what's wrong with this world? You say it's those wars. It's those disagreements. Those homes which are being battered up by arguments. That's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is this. We're fighting against God. That's our biggest problem. Directly someone puts up the white flag of surrender to God, they know what it is to have this great gift of peace with God. And that's our biggest problem. We fight against God. We argue with God. We say we don't want to believe. We say we doubt that. But when a person surrenders, they know peace with God. God. And that's a wonderful thing to know. His name shall be called Wonderful. I wonder, do you call the Lord Jesus Christ Wonderful? Because he is your Saviour. So we've thought about his grace, we've thought about his gifts. Now just one last thing and then I'm through. Why shall his name shall be called Wonderful? Why? Because of his glory. Okay, because of his glory. Now, if you look at verse 7, it says three things which I want to draw to your attention. Number one, well, let me read the verse. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts performs this. Now let me just observe, what can you see in that verse? Number one, you can see a king. a king on the throne. And that's a tremendous thing. And there is a king on the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who came so low is now exalted high. All the angels of God are now worshipping him. All those who have gone to heaven before us are worshipping him. And he's on the throne. Who's in charge of this world? Well, I'll tell you. The Lord Jesus Christ. You'll say, well, there's some terrible things happening in our world. It's because of our rebellion. But just as he came that first time, exactly on time, exactly at the right place, so he's going to come again. And we'll see him on his throne. That he is the one who rules this world. And despite the chaos and the confusion, and despite the wars and the hatred, the Lord Jesus Christ is working out all his purposes. And everything will be brought about in such a wonderful way that everyone will give him the praise and the glory. So there is a king on the throne. What else can we see in verse 7? Well, we can see that the king, of course, has a kingdom. He has a kingdom, mentioned a couple of times there. We see that kingdom is increasing and it shall have no end. For 2,000 years, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ has been increasing. Those days in the book of Acts, people were converted. Lots of people were converted. So there was an increase in his kingdom. And throughout the centuries, men and women all over the world have come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. His kingdom is increasing. And even today, though in Britain we're seeing hard times, it's been rather like a famine at the moment in our nation. But in other parts of the world, someone somewhere today has come into the kingdom. The increase of his kingdom. And then the third thing I want you to notice is the king who has a kingdom is also a judge. He rules with judgment and with justice. And when the Lord Jesus Christ makes a judgment, when he administers justice, I want to tell you this. He always gets it right. Now, in some of our law courts, recent days, they get it wrong. But when the Lord Jesus makes a judgment, it's always right. And the fearful thing is this. When he does come again, he won't come as that little babe of Bethlehem. He'll come as the judge. And my concluding thought is this. On that day, all the Christians will say, and his name is wonderful. But if you're not a Christian, you'll meet him as your judge. And sin has to be punished. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? That's why we commend our Saviour to you. Even this night, the one who lived, died at Calvary's cross. The one where there is forgiveness and mercy for you. Yes, even for you. In order that you might have that joy and able to say, his name is wonderful. Well, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, we thank you for the wonder of the scriptures. We thank you for the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his wonderful grace. We thank you, Lord, for his wonderful gifts. And we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful glory that he now has and will have forever and ever. And we do pray, Lord, please, that each one of us might be found as members of that kingdom, saved by his precious blood, redeemed, forgiven, reconciled, made right with God, that we might know that joy of joining around the throne and saying, His name is wonderful. Hear our prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.